So let's talk to the guy that's going to tell us how to spot a liar. Hey, Connor, how's it going?
Hey, not too bad, huh, guys? How are you?
All right. Not bad. We're dying to know how to tell, though, when people are lying to us.
You know, everybody is. You know, we're living in this middle of an epidemic of deception nowadays.
Absolutely. I lied right away. Things aren't going that great at all, to be honest with you. In fact, things really suck if you want to know the truth. I'd spend an hour telling you why, but I won't.
You know, yeah, that's one of the most common lines that we hear every day is the answer to the question, how are you doing?
Oh, I know. People, right. It's just a formality. They cross each other in the hallway and say it, and I don't even think people even hear the response. I don't even know why anyone bothers anymore.
You don't even want to hear the response. You don't want to hear how people feel.
Well, that's true, because if somebody does stop and say, you know what, it's really not going that great, see how much they care about why it isn't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who has time?
Oh, yeah. And even if they had time, they really don't care. They really don't.
No, they don't.
But there are those times when we are definitely putting somebody on the line and we want to know if they're telling the truth, whether it's you're watching a trial on court TV,
yeah.
Or you know, you think your partner's cheating on you, or you know, there's a million times in your lifetime where the truth is just a matter of desperation for you. And I noticed you had a few things that I thought were really interesting, like stuttering and stammering is a sign of somebody who's searching for the lie, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and you won't get fooled again. I break the there's certain signs that you can look for.
Nice plug, by the way.
What's that?
Nice plug.
I break it into two groups, and it's essentially the verbal slips of a liar, things you can listen for in their speech, and the nonverbal tics. So you know, the body language, because their body language will oftentimes belie the lies. But certain things that you can look for or listen to when it comes to verbal slips. Remember the word gotcha, G-O-T-C-H-A. The G stands for grunting or throat clearing. A lot of times when we're nervous and we're, most people get nervous or stressed when they're lying. They don't want to get caught. So a lot of times they're going to be grunting or clearing their throat more than you would expect them to. So that can be a sign they're being deceptive.
Mm-hmm.
The O stands for odd word choices or mistakes in grammar. One of the things that's really tough to do is to lie off the top of your head. If you can practice beforehand, you can smooth things out. But when you're, spitting out a lie at the moment, a lot of times you're going to make some strange word choices. You're going to fumble over your words. So that could be a sign as well that somebody's loose and fast.
I got the impression, and this is from reading, what you wrote, was that when people are lying, they try to talk maybe perhaps a little more intellectually than they normally would.
Yeah, that can be something. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll add more than you would think they would need to normally.
Yeah, they over-explain.
Over-explain things or, go back over things and repeat them. A lot of times they won't use what they call emotional words like feel or, stuff like that. There's all sorts of little things that you can look for that I talk about in the book. But the where was that? With the gotcha principle, the T stands for timeout. So these are those verbal pauses that people use to let their brains catch up with their mouths. And a lot of times you'll hear these ahs and ums and ers. Those are kind of like liar's vowels, so you want to listen for those as well.
Liar's vowels.
The C stands for changes in tone of voice. Again, when we get stressed or nervous, our throats get tighter, and a lot of times the pitch of our voice can, actually go a little bit higher. So if you're talking to somebody and they all of a sudden start sounding like Linda Blair from The Exorcist, it can be a sign they're being deceptive with you. Hissy fits. So the H stands for hissy fits. That's when somebody emphatically denies that they're lying. They pound their desk and they say, how dare you accuse me of lying?
How about I did not have sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, the most famous podium pounding lie of all time.
Yeah, exactly. But and the A in gotcha stands for asking to repeat the question. This is incredibly common, and that's a sign that the person's trying to buy more time.
And then there's so many things used to talking about people that are lying are more likely to smile or laugh at inappropriate times.
Yeah.
But you also
mentioned lip licking too.
Yeah, lip licking.
Yeah, lip licking as well. Yeah, they tend to purse their lips or lick their lips. That can be a sign that they're being nervous. It could also be a sign that their mouth's getting drier, and that can be a physical effect when somebody's stressed or nervous. You got to be careful though too. I do mention in the book that a lot of these signs, or all of these signs, in fact, can be just sign. A person's idiosyncrasies. If they avert their gaze, maybe they're just shy, or it's like a cultural thing. So you do have to be careful. There's no single sign or group of signs that'll prove beyond 100% shadow of a doubt that a person's being deceptive.
Yeah, you can never be totally, totally sure, though, can you?
No, that's exactly right. But all of these signs that I talk about, you know, if you start seeing them, it should signal to you, you know, slow down, pay closer attention to what the person's saying, closer to attention to how they're, you know, behaving, and in that way you can say, okay, well, maybe there's something fishy going on here, and you can start, you know, maybe asking more penetrating questions, or, you know,
and then expose them like crazy if you want to. I think a lot of people, though, they know somebody's lying, and they know that if they ask further questions, they're going to expose it, but then they feel like, well, why expose it? Everybody's just going to get awkward, so just make a mark that they're lying and leave it at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of people do that, yeah, and they don't want to. Well, you know, number one, if you're going to accuse somebody of lying, you better be sure that, you know, you're correct, because that's the one thing that really can insult people.
Oh, yeah, even if they are lying, they'll come back and be pissed, won't
Absolutely.
They?
You know what I was thinking about?
How dare you say I'm lying?
I was looking at your book, and I was thinking about this, and, you know, what a valuable thing this is to have a better idea of, you know, when people are telling the truth based on, you know, not just what they're saying, but their body language. You know, this is really a nice tool for, especially if you got teenage kids. And so, anyway, as I was going through there, I was just trying to imagine, well, you know, how could I put this to use? And I thought about police and how police trip people up. And one of their techniques, and I didn't see this in the book, but I wanted to ask you about it, is, you know, if you ask somebody a story, let's just say your kid is 3 hours late getting home.
Yeah.
And they tell you about the flat tire and that Jerry's parents were up and they invited you in for a snack or something like that. I mean, it's a real long, convoluted story. And it's kind of like, oh, boy, you know, by the time you finish hearing it, you're almost exhausted. But if I wrote down all the things that, you know, my son said, you know, in the course of this, what I thought might be a lie, and then I asked him to retell me the story like 3 weeks later, hey, you know, that night you were out a couple hours late, what exactly went down? Wouldn't you find that that person would really struggle to tell you the same story? Because the police are successful doing this all the time when they interview and re-interview people and they find out they say something different.
Yeah. No, you've hit on a really good point there. And I do talk about that when I talk about, you know, these interrogation techniques that you can use on people, you know, putting them into a quiet setting, asking them questions and starting out asking them, you know, what I call like innocent questions or puffball questions. And that gets you able to read their sort of their body language, what they call the baseline behavior of when they're answering questions truthfully and not using deception. And then you can get into, you know, the more serious questions that deal with the, you know, whatever you want to know. And you're going to see if a person's being deceptive, you usually see a change in the way they're answering the questions, a change in the way they're moving their bodies. And then once you've got through that, you know, those questions, go back and re-ask some of the questions, like you say, you know, whether it's at that time or the next day or 3 weeks later, as you mentioned. And that's where you're going to see those discrepancies that come through. Because one of the things that people aren't really good at when they're lying is remembering those little details. The details can make it more convincing at the time, but the details are going to trip you up and you know, reveal you as a liar if you can't remember them.
Well, that's why I, you know, the older I get, you know, when you're 20 years old, I think the idea of juggling two or three girls seems like so much fun, and oh God, you know, wouldn't it be great to have two or three really nice looking girlfriends to juggle around, and you'd never get sick of any of them. But I tell you, the older I get, the more I think, who would want to fool around and have a mistress or have an extra girlfriend or whatever? Because the web of lies you have to weave is so elaborate that, you know, you're going to get nailed at some point. Yeah. You have to.
Yeah, absolutely. And that we see evidence of that over and over and over again. And that's one of the weird, you know, one weird and wonderful things about lying is that it does. It lies breed more lies.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, absolutely. And then when you have to absolutely remember exactly what you said.
Yeah.
If you're dealing women like that, would be a great example of that.
And look at all the witnesses we've seen. You watch court TV.
Oh, yeah, like,
and, you know,
crazy.
It just happens all the time where they get someone on the stand, they're a huge witness, and they say something and you think, oh, my God, the whole trial's turned. And then they say, you know, we did do a deposition, and if you turn to page 13 of that, I asked you this same question, and here's what you said. And it's like, you know, as a viewer, you go, this guy's full of crap. How could you answer that question? requested differently on two occasions. What happened is what happened, and you wouldn't forget something like that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and it's interesting. One of the things that I talked a lot about is that you have this persistent media today. You know, you've got the internet, you've got all these, you know, independent bloggers that are out there that can dig up facts, and, you know, you can reach back decades now to find out what somebody said. So, I mean, you're seeing that more and more today. People are getting caught out, you know, because they've said something, you know, months before,
right.
And now they're changing their story.
Yeah,
and
politicians are famous for it, their viewpoints. And but, you know, on the other hand, and we've talked about this, it seems like we live in a time now where people are lying more than ever.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like
yeah.
people now just routinely lie as a matter of course without giving it another thought.
Yeah, it's one of the things I mentioned is lies are like the performance-enhancing drug for the competition known as life today.
Mm-hmm.
And people see that so often. I mean, one of the examples that I talk about a lot is, you know, people that are going out for a job. They're interviewing for a job. They're putting resumes out there. And there's this pervasive perception that everybody is you know, embellishing or lying in order to get these jobs. So if I don't do it, you know, I'm going to be at a disadvantage. I mean, I came across mm-hmm. a website the other day. It's called fakeresume.com.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely true. And
yeah.
it teaches people how to, you know, pad their resume in ways that they won't get caught.
Which is a lie.
Those are lies that we use to smooth our passage through life, you know. And everybody's seen that movie Liar Liar with Jim Carrey. It's a funny movie, but underneath it, there's a real truth to it.
Well, the number of lies that you tell in the course of a day just to get through the day,
exactly. And our lives would be absolute chaos, like just like it happens to Jim Carrey in the movie.
If somebody were interviewing people for jobs, what would you tell them to look for?
I tell them to look for, you know, certain nonverbal cues, especially that we mentioned about stuff like where you averting the gaze. That's an incredibly common one that's associated.
That seems so obvious, though. You know, as a person who maybe doesn't want to be shown to be a liar, don't people know that if you look someone in the eye, they're more inclined to believe you? I mean, there's two sides to this.
Absolutely, yeah. There are absolutely, yeah. If you know what signs that people are looking for, you can practice and try to diminish those signs that you're displaying. But for most people, the vast majority of people, it's not an easy thing to do. Lying is not an easy thing to do. There's only about 5% of the population are what they call like natural liars that they can do it without displaying, you know, virtually any of the signs.
What about, you know, there's lie detectors, and I heard somewhere along the line that if you put tacks in your shoes and you actually have the sharpness going into your foot, that it creates some kind of physical reaction that will allow you to perform better on a lie detector. Is that true? And if so, why? And how do you beat a lie detector?
Well, the lie detector is an interesting device. And this is a device that what it's doing is it's measuring certain physical parameters inside your body. It's measuring your heart rate, your breathing rate, your blood pressure, and the conductivity of your skin. Because the theory is when somebody's lying, as I mentioned, there's a psychological pressure that ratchets up, and that causes real physical changes in the body. So what they want to do is establish an accurate baseline. That's how you're answering questions that they know the truthful answers to, that you're not lying.
Right, like how long you've been married, or what your name
exactly,
is, or where you live, or
what
whatever.
Day is it today, what,
right.
You know, what's your middle name. And so they ask these innocent questions, and that gives them a good accurate baseline, and then they start getting into the tough questions that they want. And, you know, where were you on, you know, did you murder mm-hmm. Joe? You know, schmo. And that, what they're doing is now looking for any deviations from those baseline readings. So a lot of people have this perception that the polygraph can be beaten. And it can be, because one example, Aldrich Ames, who worked for the CIA, sold millions of dollars worth of secrets to the USSR during the Cold War. He routinely passed every polygraph test.
How did he do it? Do you know?
He had a very good understanding of what the test was like, how it was set up, and and he essentially convinced himself that he was telling the truth, and he did a lot of practicing, did a lot of, you know, I don't think he had a great deal of respect for the polygraph either. He knew it was more, you know, depending on the level of coercion that the interrogator used and how much you believed in the machine itself. So if you believe that the machine is going to catch you, then the machine will catch you.
Well, let's listen to a couple of classic statements that have been made that we know that they are or are not true, and maybe you can pluck out what would have told us what we should have known at the time.
Okay,
and
sure.
Here's subject number one.
But I want to say one thing to the American people. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody to lie, not a single time, never. These allegations are false, and I need to go back to work for the American people. Thank you.
Now, I'm just going to take a wild guess here and say he was a little too strong there, wasn't he?
Yeah, that's exactly what comes out in that. I mean, it's almost like, you remember I told this, mentioned the emphatic denial of lying. He's you can hear him repeating over stuff, and you know,
never,
he sets it up.
And also, doesn't he, using the word sexual relations sounds to me like a really dressed up term. Who says, you know, hey, did you and her get it on last night? Nobody says, oh yeah, we had sexual relations.
Yeah.
Nobody says that.
Hell no.
Yeah.
Okay, here's another one.
I don't know how I ended up here. I just don't know how I ended up here. I thought I lived a great life. I thought I treated everybody well. I went out of my way to make everybody comfortable and happy. I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me. I feel sorry for myself that I, despite everything that I had, I let myself get depressed. You know, I let myself get lonely. Look where I am. I'm the juice, whatever that means. But I felt at times like I was I felt the goodness in myself and the goodness that I gave people. I don't feel any goodness in myself right now. I feel emptiness. I feel totally empty. I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't even know what this tape is for. But I felt I had some last thing I got to say to somebody. Please remember me as a juice. Please remember me as a good guy. Don't remember me as whatever negative that might end up here.
Okay, that's O.J. Simpson from that stupid book he put out before the trial ever even took place, trying to raise money for his defense. But, you know, that one's interesting because I don't really know what to make of that. I knew he was lying, obviously. I knew he killed her. But what do you hear there that would bother you as somebody who tries to recognize a lie from the truth?
You know, it's with O.J., that's such a weird and strange instance in history. And it's tough listening to that. You know, I'm getting the same thing you get. It's tough to know, you know, where he's going. What he sounds emotional, you know, obviously emotional, which he would be in that case, you know, guilty or not guilty. But
if you're trying to pass a lie detector test, you don't want to be emotional, do you?
Well, it's something that the emotion could come from whether you're innocent or guilty. You're going to have that emotion. You're going to have that nervous sort of you know, stress running through your body. Experienced examiner should be able to filter that out, but you know, it's tough listening to that particular clip, and it's tough. Like I said, it's tough to pick it up if you don't know a person's baseline behavior. If you don't know the level of stress that they're experiencing at the moment.
Here's a little more a little longer comment from somebody that really you wouldn't know what he was talking about. But I'm just going to see if you hear anything.
I'm just ready to come out and go. Friday it is then.
Oh yeah,
right. Within 3 weeks, the helicopter will be in the studio.
Oh, no.
Monday, right?
No, it isn't Monday.
You got this?
No, it isn't Monday.
No.
Who
later?
Wants to do it on Monday?
Oh, sure.
I'll give you another one of the same person.
My promise to you. My promise to you.
Oh boy.
Careful.
Get the dat. Mark
the
dat.
That's rolling.
All right. All next week, I'm going to be way on time. I mean, it's just going to be unbelievable. It's going to be unbelievable.
Oh, boy. Lots of stammering.
Yeah. Any other observations on that one, Connor?
Well, it was there a lot of. It was a the quality was a little low on my end, but it sounded like there was a lot of pausing and was there stammering going on there? And
yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
The book is called You Won't Get Fooled Again, More Than 101 Brilliant Ways to Bust Any Bald-Faced Liar, Even If the Liar is Lying Beside You, and it's by Connor O'Shaughnessy. Is that how I say your name, Connor?
That's exactly it. Sure.
What would be the best way to try and make someone believe you're telling the truth when you're not?
Well, I do actually include, there's five specific tips about, you know, how you can become a better liar. Number one is to avoid contact with the people that you're tossing your fibs at, which is tough to do. But like we said, like we've been talking about, if somebody doesn't know your baseline behavior, how you talk or act when you're being deceptive, or they're not going to know, when they're being truthful, they're not going to know when you're lying. It's very tough to know.
Right, so just avoid the person.
Exactly. And if you can somehow not care about the person that you're tossing your fibs at, that can help out too. And then, you know, that's tough to do as well, especially if you're lying to somebody that, you know, your spouse or anything like that. But one of the reasons we show these signs is because we're worried about getting caught. We're nervous. So if you don't care, you're not gonna show these signs as often. If you do care about the people that you're giving your fibs towards, you want to practice them first. It's practice, you know, won't necessarily make you a perfect liar, but it's going to make you a better liar. It's just like an actor. You want to know your lines before the cameras start rolling.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Another thing is to put a lot of details into the lie. Now, this runs two ways. The details are going to make it more convincing, but like we talked about, you got to be able to remember those details. So,
yeah, so you almost have to write them down after you use
down,
them.
Write them down, I think there should be some sort of program, like an Excel spreadsheet that you can use to keep track of all the details.
Yeah.
And the last and possibly best tip is to believe your lies. You know, George Costanza on Seinfeld said, it's not a lie if you believe it. Mm. And, you know, it's probably, you know, borderline sociopathic. But
yeah.
Yeah, it is.
But it's true. There are those people that lie so good and you know they're lying and that you do eventually say, God, sometimes wonder if the guy believes it himself.
Yeah. Now, from what I understand, and I know we're a little short of time here, but I just wanted to ask, my understanding is the biggest lie that women tell is if you ask them their age or their weight, and the biggest lie that men tell is their height. Do you know any other lies that are typically common or very commonplace?
Yeah, well, income. We a lot of us tend to lie about our income. Age, income, and the frequency of sex tend to be the most.
Yeah.
It's not a long book, and it's not an expensive book, but it does give you a lot of good advice. And Connor.